Find your Bible. I know many of you are using your smart devices now. Whatever you have in your hand, let's turn to Psalm chapter 40 this morning. This is the first Sunday in the new year, first Sunday in 2018. So let's give some attention today to fresh start, what that means. What does it mean for us to have a fresh start in the Lord? No matter who we are, or how our life has been up till now, the beauty is that God will give us a fresh start. If we'll cooperate with Him, He's not going to drag us into it, certainly. We all know the resolutions don't work. A joint study by Foursquare and Swarm. By the way, the next hour we'll know what I'm talking about. You guys don't. Those are apps. Foursquare and Swarm are very popular apps, and they joined together, and the study shows that the average life expectancy of a New Year's revolution is about 35 days. 35 days falls on February the 4th, and the way they measure this, because, they're online and all this data is online. The way they've measured this is trips to fast food restaurants take a sharp increase back to their normal highs on February 4th. People give up the whole dieting idea. By February 4th, they're back at McDonald's. And trips to the gym take a sharp decline back to their normal lows on February 4th. So 35 days, about the life expectancy of New Year's revolutions. February the 4th is kind of recognized as the annual death day for New Year's resolutions. But resolutions are being replaced by a more practical trend. Have you heard of Good Riddance Day? Celebrated on December 28th every year. It started in 2006, gained popularity every year. Participants in Good Riddance Day write down unpleasant, painful, or embarrassing memories from the past year and throw them into a big industrial strength shredder and grind them to pieces. Organizers in the New York Times Square event, which I believe may have been the first, and it's still the largest, you can go online and read all about this, they provide pens and special Good Riddance Day stationery to write the bad memory on so that you can then ceremoniously throw it into this industrial strength grinder, this industrial strength shredder, and grind it to pieces. By the way, they're even providing for those memories that can't be written on a piece of paper, like bad cell phones or photos in frames of ex-boyfriends and girlfriends, those kinds of things. They're providing sledgehammers where you can just smash these things to pieces. One of the organizers says this: "It's a chance to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of the things that have been dragging me down and look forward with a sense of hope to the possibility of change." This is spread all across the nation. On December 28th, they had a big Good Riddance Day celebration this last year. So from coast to coast, Good Riddance Day. You heard it here first. New trend. Same thing's true with regrets, though. Only God can give us truly a fresh start, whether we're setting New Year's resolutions or voicing regrets. Only He can give us a fresh start if we cooperate with Him. That's why this is such a soothing word from God. Psalm chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up out of a desolate pit, the King James says a slimy pit, out of the muddy clay, and he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So God's ready to give us a fresh start if we are ready to cooperate. Maybe the question that we're asking this morning is, what does it mean to cooperate with God? And we hear it in the voice of this psalmist here in Psalm 40. And what we're going to do is just kind of track him. Just look at this psalmist. Here's where we want to begin in this cooperation process, and that is our realignment. David says there in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, let me just stop here and say, we're no good at this. We're no good at waiting patiently on the Lord. I don't think we're good at waiting patiently at anything, but we're certainly no good at waiting patiently for the Lord. It's not in our DNA. We're at a disadvantage as we read this. Nonetheless, if we're going to cooperate with the Lord, this is where we'll need to begin. Realigning some things, like focus. We need to realign our focus and begin focusing on the Lord. I was watching my grandson play baseball. He just turned 10. I think this was when he was 9 years old. And there in the stands, some grandparents, mostly parents, watching these little guys play baseball. And there was a mother sitting right in front of me, and she couldn't hardly watch her 10-year-old son play baseball because she was babysitting with her 6-year-old son, the little brother of the guy out on the field. And I asked her, is he following in his brother's footsteps? Does he like baseball? And she said, well, he's having a hard time grasping the concept of baseball at age 6. She said he was out in the backyard with his dad this last week, and his dad would pitch him the ball, and he'd swing blindly and miss it. And she'd pitch the ball, and he'd swing blindly and miss it. And she said, my husband finally said to him, honey, you got to keep your eye on the ball. And this little 6-year-old boy defiantly said, you're not throwing the ball where my bat is. Not quite grasping the idea yet. And I think what I want to pull from that is, God is not going to throw his ball where our bat is. God is not going to jump in front of us. He's not going to track us down and throw himself in front of us. It's up to us to kind of realign our focus. There's a difference. Stop looking at other sources. Stop considering all the options we've considered in the past. You know, stop putting so much weight in their suggestions. Stop listening so closely to the suggestions of the culture and the best friends, and realign our focus where we're focusing on God and paying attention to him, keeping our eye on God, not relying upon God to throw himself in front of us. Waiting patiently on the Lord means looking at him, focusing completely and exclusively on him. The second thing we want to consider is our faith. We're going to want to realign our faith and start believing that God's going to do something great on our behalf. The enemy of faith, I think, is skepticism. Does that describe us? Are we skeptics? You know, most of the culture is skeptics, and if we're not careful, we'll kind of catch that disease from them. And in our walk with the Lord, we'll become kind of skeptical, looking for the worst. In the Christian Reader magazine, a lady wrote in talking about her younger brother. Her younger brother just got married, And he was a skeptic, very cynical about everything in life. And so this younger brother of hers took his bride, on the night of their wedding to a very expensive hotel. He was expecting the worst. And he got there, and they escorted them up to the bridal suite, and he tipped them generously, and they left. And he turned around, and there's the hotel room, and he looks around, and there's a couch, and there are chairs, and there's a big screen TV, and there's all these kinds of things, but there's no bed. And so he looked around a little bit, and discovered that this big couch was a hide-a-bed. And he thought, well, this is just great. Wouldn't you know it? They've taken advantage of me again. And he wanted to go down and complain to the hotel clerk, but he thought, well, I'll wait until morning. So morning came, and he went down to complain to the hotel clerk, and he tells, I expected more from you all. You have a good reputation. I expected more from you all for a bridal suite than just a room with all these furniture. And the young clerk stopped him and said, sir, that's a bridal suite. You have a living area, then you have a bedroom. Did you check the bedroom? So rather embarrassed, he went up back to his hotel room, and there's a door he assumed was a closet. He opened the door, and it opened up into this beautiful bridal suite, you know, with all the empties that you would expect in a bridal suite. So, you know, what I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we develop this cynicism, this skepticism in life, and especially toward our Lord. We have to deal with that. When I was a kid, I remember I fished with cane poles. You all are too young to remember what that's like, but I fished with cane poles and a cork. And there were two kinds of fishermen back then. There were fishers and there were catchers. And I have to confess, I was probably more in the category of fishers than I was catchers. Fishers would throw our corks out, and we'd watch those corks, but if it bobbed, we assumed that it was the wind. There's nothing on that cork, you know. And we didn't catch anything. The catchers were the ones who threw their cork out, and when it started bobbing, they assumed it was a fish, and they'd yank it, and they'd pull a fish in. The difference was one expected nothing and caught nothing. One expected something and caught something. Cynics and believers is what we're talking about here this morning. Realigning our faith. One other realignment is realigning our function. Do you know what our function is in following God? Following God is not a spectator sport. Following God is not something we get to sit back on our laurels and watch. When following God, we're not expected, God doesn't expect us to be the color commentator up in the press box. Following God means being on the field, reading the playbook, understanding the playbook, listening to the coach giving play assignments, executing the plays, taking the hard knocks. You understand where I am? Function here in following the Lord involves doing. There's a book called James, kind of addresses this. Doing faith, not saying faith. Doing faith, not watching faith. Conquering with faith, not commenting on faith. And as longtime believers, if we're not careful, we'll fall in the category of commenting on faith and hypothesizing on faith rather than doing faith, functioning faith. We're going to need to realign some things in 2018. Let's move off that subject now and look again here at the first verse and talk about God's response. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. And that's the baseline. That's where it starts. I waited patiently for the Lord, and, or after that, God did what? Look at all the action verbs here. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, heard my cry for help, brought me up from a desolate pit out of a muddy clay, set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. So I waited patiently for the Lord. God turned, heard, brought, set, and made my steps secure. God is in the ready position when it comes to us. He's watching to see if we're waiting on Him by realigning our focus, realigning our faith, realigning our function as we walk with Him. And He does great things in our lives. Let me tell you the thing that cripples us, I believe, at this point. We say, well, I trust God, but I don't trust me. Are you ever like that? Yeah, I trust God, but I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to hear God. I don't trust myself to understand God. I know God is trying to do great things in my life. God's great, God's good, God's loving, but I don't trust myself. And I got to tell you, that's a little bit of a cop-out. Because what that's saying is, my misunderstanding is greater than God's ability in my life. Another thing we say is, God may be ready to do great things in my life, but I don't think I can hold up my end of the bargain. Again, we're trusting in ourselves rather than God. Or here's another thing we say, God may be ready to do great things in my life, Pastor, but you don't know my past. You know, you don't know what a slug I've been. You don't know my sin. You don't know my failures. And I don't. I mean, that's true. I don't. You don't know mine either, by the way. But in both of our lives, God knows. We have a good Father and a strong Father, a powerful Father. And yeah, He knows our failures. He knows our sins. But come on, can you imagine a loving Father, earthly Father, meeting somebody and introducing you and saying, let me introduce you to my little girl here. She spilled grape juice on our carpet when she was two, and I've never forgiven her for it. Let me introduce you to my little three-year-old boy here. He broke my wife's favorite vase about 3 weeks ago, and we just can't get over it. Can you imagine a loving dad introducing his kiddos that way? And yet we expect our Father in heaven, you know, to be wanting to do great things in our life, but saying, well, I can't get past that thing you did before you gave your life to me. Or I can't get past that thing you did when you were an immature follower. I just can't get past that. I love you, daughter, but I can't get past that. I love you, son, but I just can't get past that. You've gone beyond the veil. That's just not who God is. If you've given your life to Christ and you trust and follow Him today, then you never have to worry about your failures ever again. The old you has been burned away. Now all you need to do is wait patiently on Him, the way we've discussed here in verse 2, and you can know you have a great, great God who's poised and ready and eager to bless you. Really need to mention something here, and I hope this is just common sense. And that is that God's action in our lives is going to involve change. It's going to involve change. God's in the process of taking us where He found us and molding us and making us and growing us and changing us more and more into the image of Christ Jesus. So all these good things God's doing in our life as He grows us and changes us is going to replace those failures and those weak spots in our past. So as we make our appeal to God the Father, it needs to be okay with us, and I believe it is, to know that He's going to change us. He's going to grow us. He's going to make us into somebody different, somebody better and bigger than we were before. Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? Some of you are not responding. It's kind of, I don't want to change, you know. I don't want to change. I don't want to change, Pastor. Let's look at one last thing here, and we'll call this our restart. We began this morning by establishing that God's ready to give us a fresh start in life. Verse 2 says, He'll lift us up out of the pit we're in and set our feet on a rock and give us strength and stability. Then look at verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. You know, what we're looking at there is absolutely foreign to the people outside God. This is so outside the experience of culture. This is so outside the experience of mankind. They absolutely cannot understand it as we cannot explain it. This is the fresh start we all long for. A new song, a new joy. Not just the beginning of a new calendar year, but an unexplainable, indescribable new excitement for life. And it's from now on. It's not just for New Year's, it's from now on. Linda and I went to the movie back when it was cold. We had the time also, went to the movie. And I don't remember what we went to see. It was real, very memorable, whatever it was. I can't. The popcorn was good. I remember that. But we were standing in line, that bitter cold, and there were two young moms there. Between them, they had five little girls. And I would guess the older four were kind of giddy, and they were all, you know, like little girls do. And I would guess they were between 5 and 7. But one of the moms, they were waiting in line, a long line. And one of the mothers had a little girl asleep on her shoulder. This little girl was just out, totally out. But all of the excitement and the other from the little girls, they were talking, and the cold caused this little girl to wake up. And when she woke up, the mother put her down because she had to pay for her tickets anyway. And this little girl began crying. You know, you can imagine waking up from deep sleep. Here it's bitter cold. Confused, bewildered, what's going on? I'm not in my home. Da-da-da-da-da. She began crying. And the mother was paying for the tickets. Well, these other four little girls kind of gathered around her, and they started talking to her. And you know, what they were saying to her was, look where we are. We're at the theater. Mom's brought us to the movies. We're going to go see da-da-da-da-da. You know. And this little girl looked around, you know, and she, oh, we're at the movie theater. And she looked, and there's the theater. It's all crowded in there. And she sees her mom buying the ticket. And this won't communicate with you all because, you know, you haven't heard of this. But this little girl begins jumping up and down. She's got her fist, and she's just shaking her fist on both sides of her head. And she starts shouting, Ferdinand, 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 Ferdinand. Ferdinand's the newest cartoon movie that's out. Ferdinand, 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 Ferdinand. She went from despair and discouragement and bewilderment and confusion to excited beyond explanation. And my guess is she stayed pretty excited for the next couple hours. My grandkids saw Ferdinand and they loved it. I think it's about a bull. When we wake up to God, no matter what kind of discouragement we're in, no matter what kind of confusion we're in, no matter what kind of bewilderment we're in, depression we're in, when we wake up to what God is doing in our lives, when we see it for all the reality that it is, we go from despair and discouragement into joyful excitement. Ferdinand, 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 Ferdinand. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Not just today, but from this day forward, for all of our days, recognizing what Jesus is doing. He restarts in our lives. He restarts in our lives an emotion, a joyfulness that is unexplainable, indescribable to the culture around us. You know how I know that? Look back at your Bible. Verse 4, we haven't read this yet. How happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. That's the culture. Lord, my God, you've done many things, your wonderful works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. Today's the first Sunday in 2018. I want to make a suggestion to you. Destroy the past. Shred it up. Let it go. Today, focus on Jesus such as we have never done before. Put our faith in Him. Get involved with Him. Stop the spectator lifestyle. Get involved with Him. And let Jesus bring joy to our lives from this day and for all days. You with me? All right. All right. Let's pray together.